This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. You're listening to Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today we have a very interesting topic that I've become increasingly impressed by and spent a lot of time studying and discussing, and that's the issue of medical marijuana. Here in Georgia, the Legislative Committee on Health and Human Services has been entertaining the possibility of such a bill being presented to the Congress and Senate. So yesterday I was at the Capitol along with Ray Gaskin, who is the president of the Georgia Society of Addiction Medicine. We presented testimony, written testimony, and then Dr. Gaskin presented oral testimony on behalf of the American Society of Addiction Medicine and Georgia Society of Addiction Medicine. So I thought we would spend a little bit of time today talking about what are the facts, what is the need, what are the resources, and what are some of the fables around medical marijuana, and how can we help people who actually might benefit. Before we get too far into that, though, I did want to have a moment of congratulations to CVS Pharmacies that have made a very important and groundbreaking decision to follow the requests of the American Pharmacists Association that was made back in 2010 to please discontinue the sale of tobacco products and to urge state pharmacy boards to discontinue issuing and renewing licenses of pharmacies that sell these products. It's very important to understand that many of these pharmacies make quite a significant amount of money on the sale, and we are showing that most pharmacies and other retail outlets like grocery stores and large scale department stores that have a pharmacy have continued to sell cigarettes and make a fair amount of money. In fact, only a small fortune is what they're making. Only a small number have been responding until CVS did make their announcement that they were going to stop selling tobacco and tobacco-related products in their stores across the country. This is great news, and we'd like to personally congratulate CVS for making this decision. And CVS Caremark believes that it's now time for retailers and others to eliminate the sales of cigarettes and other tobacco products by institutions, including other pharmacies. Although CVS Pharmacy makes about $1.5 billion in revenue, they feel that their financial gain by discontinuing the sales of tobacco will actually promote health and contributing to the decrease in tobacco-related deaths. So they've decided to cease the sales in the upcoming year. So congratulations and a good big kudo to CVS Caremark Pharmacies for making this decision. One of the three major strategies that are being purported by the Surgeon General's report is to, number one, make tobacco less attractive and less socially acceptable. And by CVS Caremark Pharmacies making this decision, that is a step in the right direction. Other strategies would be to increase the tax and the cost of the cigarettes and other tobacco-related products, and to increase education about the harmfulness of tobacco. So that is awesome, and very, very excited that this has happened, and very hopeful that somewhere along the line other pharmacies will follow this this very important strategy and help us to decrease the horrible number of very preventable deaths that we see every year. So let's get back to the product or the topic today of medical marijuana. I have to say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, given the fact that marijuana itself is not a medicine. It may have medicinal properties. There may be components within that particular substance that may have help for different medical problems, but it in and of itself is not a medication, and therefore it is a little bit of a misnomer, but that's the language that is used in the media and by groups and legislators that are trying to advance the cause. So we'll use that today with the caveat and understanding that marijuana is not a medicine, and so medical marijuana is not an accurate term. However, important to note that there are some components of marijuana that are very helpful and may be very helpful for a variety of problems, and I think we need to talk about that today. There are two main components, cannabinoids, as they're called, that are found in marijuana. There's THC, which is the psychoactive compound. This is the part of the plant that when you smoke it or eat it, will make you high. There's also another form of a cannabinoid, which is shortened to CBD. CBD does not have psychoactive properties. It is essentially a therapeutic component that is found in cannabis, but does not have psychoactive properties. This is the ingredient, this is the part of the plant that we're most interested in and that may actually be helpful. CBD, this non-psychoactive component, works in a number of important ways. There are a number of preclinical studies that indicate that it has an analgesic or a pain-relieving capacity, that it may be helpful as an anticonvulsant to stop seizures. There may be some antipsychotic properties, and that it may actually have some neuroprotective effects. There are reports of people using this component of marijuana in people who have had head injuries, and that they have found that these folks have had improved healing and more rapid improvement in functioning. So this is the important component that we are all hoping will be used and studied in terms of a possible medication. So there's a flood of interest in this component, this CBD, and while it does not get you high, it is actually taken out of the marijuana plant. We, for many decades and eons, we have used plants and herbs and taken parts of those in more modern days to provide medication. Digitalis, which is used for cardiac problems, heart problems, comes from the plant foxglove, and it is extracted from this plant and has become an important medicine in cardiology. We know that the opium poppy that is grown in Afghanistan and other places around the world has the component that from this flower that makes opium, which is then converted by pharmaceutical companies or drug dealers into either morphine and codeine or heroin. So these natural occurring plants can have very important and very helpful therapeutic properties, but what we are looking for is the purified form that has been properly tested, evaluated, and safely grown and safely marketed and then sold to patients, as opposed to the more rudimentary or crude plant that we would see. We don't tell patients that have a headache to go find a willow tree and scrape some of the bark off. We tell them to go to the store and purchase some aspirin. So this is the kind of process that's very familiar to us in medicine, but also has created such a storm as people want the natural plant. And we'll talk about why they might be more interested in the natural plant than they are in the pharmaceuticals. The important point around this particular substance is that the CBD does not bind to the receptors in the brain that will make you high. So therefore, it doesn't produce the important, often sought-after experience that people have when they smoke marijuana or eat marijuana. However, this particular part of the plant has still, under federal regulations, has not been approved by the FDA and is still considered a controlled Schedule I substance. This is really important to understand that even though states like Colorado or Washington have legalized the use of this particular substance, it is against the law to take it across state lines. It's against the law to transport it. Producers of these substances that are in Colorado or Washington state are not allowed to send this to people in Georgia, for example. That is against the law, and that is a huge problem in and of itself. We'll talk a little bit more about ways in which the FDA and the DEA are trying to not only do the studies to determine the safety and efficacy of this compound, but also ways in which doctors and academic centers in the United States will have the opportunity to have access to this in a legal way and in a way that can be helpful to their patients. CBD can be extracted through a variety of extremely complex and sometimes expensive processes to get this highly concentrated element from the plant. The difficulty has been that the oil that is being produced and called Charlotte's oil in Colorado has not undergone any of these safety monitored practices, nor has it been FDA approved. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what is Charlotte's oil, why the interest in this particular substance, and what is the controversy. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Please stay tuned.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. You're listening to Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today we're talking about medical marijuana and what are some of the important things for people to consider when they're talking about this topic, and what are some of the constraints that we have in trying to make a potentially helpful medication available. We talked about the two components, or primary components. There are really over 400 different elements within the marijuana plant itself, but the two major ones, the THC, which is the psychoactive, the part of the substance that makes you high, and the CBD, which is another component of the plant that may actually have some therapeutic benefit. Now, a lot of parents, and we saw some of these folks at the Capitol yesterday. We saw Mrs. Figge, whose daughter was the subject of the documentary that Sanjay Gupta did on CNN a few months ago. This young lady suffers from a specific form of seizures called Dravet syndrome. It is a genetically inherited problem that results in chronic, what we call intractable seizures, sometimes over 100 a day. The child generally is born and grows perfectly normally until sometime in the first year of life when there is this onset of seizures. Sometimes they're started as a result of having a fever. Now, about 15% of children can have a seizure that we call febrile seizures. It's not uncommon to see this happen. Most of these kids will have one or two seizures, and by the time they're two, 3, or 4 years old, they've, quote, outgrown the seizures, and they don't have any further problems. About 5% of this 15% will go on to have more chronic seizures, including the rare form called Dravet syndrome. These seizures will be poorly responsive to traditional anticonvulsant medications or other medicines that are given by neurologists and doctors who specialize in seizures. These kids don't seem to respond, or they have a high degree of side effects with the medications, and so the seizures are poorly controlled, and they will continue to have multiple seizures. As this happens, the child loses function. They're not able to walk. They're often not able to feed themselves. They have poor communication skills, and as you can imagine, this is terribly frustrating and painful for family members to watch their child having seizures and not be able to help them. It's very disruptive to family life. Their siblings are often, overly concerned. Not overly concerned. They should be concerned, but they're very much involved with trying to help care for a child who is suffering so very much. So you can see why families might be reaching out to try and have some relief. And as the CNN special showed, this young lady had tried a variety of medications, and the family became increasingly desperate as they were trying to find an answer. They became aware of the Stanley Brothers, who are a group of 6 brothers that grow medical marijuana in the state of Colorado. They have stores, I believe, in Colorado Springs and Boulder. These young men have developed quite a business and a business model, and they had been selectively breeding different types of cannabis for different properties that the plant might produce. in the process of crossbreeding, generally most growers, honestly, are trying to increase the THC or the psychoactive part of the plant. Back in the day, back in the 70s, when marijuana was commonly smoked, the percentage of THC was very commonly about 1%. Today, the University of Mississippi is the only research facility in the United States that is allowed to grow and to collect different types of marijuana from drug seizures around the country. This program is evaluating and studying the characteristics of the different types of marijuana plants, including the concentration of THC. Average levels of THC are nowadays are between 8 and 15%, and they it's not uncommon to find concentrations of up to 38 and 40%. This is not your grandmother's THC. This is not your grandmother's marijuana. This is a much more potent, highly concentrated, and more increasingly psychoactive substance. The Stanley Brothers Group had also cultivated a subset of marijuana that contained high levels of CBD. And it is the CBD that has the pain-relieving properties, that has the anti-seizure properties, allegedly, that helps with spasticity and a number, the medical problems. And they were aware of this and breeding this particular type or growing this particular type of marijuana to provide more focused help for patients using medical marijuana with less of the psychoactive side effects. Well, nobody wanted to buy this, and this is the ongoing problem that we find with this whole situation is the fact that people want the high. They don't want the component that's just providing the relief of symptoms. So they concentrated this plant. They were able to do an extraction process and provide a type of marijuana to this young girl, Charlotte, that has allegedly a 10-to-1 ratio, 10 parts CBD and 1 part THC. This compound is put in an oil base and given to children under their tongue. A child very commonly would use anywhere from 100 to 1,000 milligrams per day to help with their seizures. If they're ingesting 300 milligrams of CBD a day, unfortunately, they're also getting 30 milligrams of THC. And this would be the equivalent of, a fairly considerable jolt of THC. So there's a lot of concern. First of all, the Stanley Brothers are not pharmacists. They're not physicians. They're not doctors. They are very skilled marketers, and they're very skilled, apparently, at cultivating and growing marijuana. They're providing a substance that, unfortunately, has not been tested. There's no real quality control in terms of the amount of medication that, or the milligrams. This can vary from plant to plant and can vary from dose to dose for the child. There's not really a physician who is ordering this. As a physician, I can't order it. Physicians in Colorado can't order it. It is against the law. So a physician might recommend it, and there may be some physicians helping to oversee it. But for the most part, the parents are buying this, and they're taking it home, and they're giving a dose to their child, seeing if the child responds, giving a higher dose, another dose, another dose. There's no limit on the doses they can give, and there is a lot of trial and error that is well-meaning and desperate parents trying to get relief, but also potentially providing a high level of THC in the long run to their child. There are a number of reports, unfortunately, by the FDA and other groups reporting problems with contamination, problems with mold, pesticides, and other products that have caused serious and sometimes life-threatening illnesses and injuries to people who are taking the so-called medical marijuana. So the first concern, as we always have as physicians, is to do no harm. And with an untested, uncontrolled product that is anecdotally helpful but no randomized peer-reviewed studies, it's very, very difficult. Again, my heart goes out to the families, and I understand they're trying to help their child. But when we're considering this from a medical standpoint, we have to be aware that this can be a very potentially dangerous problem and can be actually exposing their children to THC. Another concern that we have is that marijuana is metabolized through the liver, just like other substances and medications are metabolized. In fact, it uses the same metabolic pathway as most anticonvulsants, most seizure medicines, most antidepressants, most medications for psychosis, and many pain medicines. So a lot of the medications that these children may be on maybe have their blood levels changed because of the use of marijuana. This is of great concern, and many of these children are continuing to take their anti-seizure medicines. No one is monitoring very closely, is our fear, what is happening with the blood levels and the child's system when they're adding this so-called Charlotte's Web that was produced by the Stanley brothers, named after the first little girl to use it. There are apparently now about 200 children in the state of Colorado who are currently taking this. They're trying to do some studies in terms of efficacy and dosing, but they have not been given permission by the FDA, and they really are very much in the infancy. The process by which the FDA is able to give approval for a new medication is a long one. It's an expensive one. It involves original studies looking at the effect on animals. Rat brains are actually relatively similar in many ways to human brains, and so it's not uncommon to use a rat brain for initial studies. It goes through three different levels of studies up to the third level, which involves actual trial on humans. So it's a long and expensive process, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be quite a while before this particular substance will be able to be approved, which leads to all of our concerns because of pesticides, fertilizers, and microbes, which could be dangerous to anyone, but particularly dangerous to children with epilepsy. Bacterial infections have also been reported with these particular substances. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, then what's the alternative and why are we as physicians concerned? I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Please stay tuned.
Hello, this is Michael Daly with Atlanta Healing Center. We know that addiction is a brain disease. Addiction is a family disease. Addiction is a treatable disease. We have a caring professional staff with over 30 years experience to help you and your loved ones in your recovery. You can reach us at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. You're listening to Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today we're talking about medical marijuana. What are the issues? What are the pros? What are the cons? And what are the falsehoods about this particular substance? Many states have approved. 20 states have approved the use of, quote, medical marijuana. There are two states that have approved recreational marijuana, and a number of states, including Georgia, have ballots in current legislation regarding the approval of medical marijuana for their citizens. We do have some concerns, and part of them include the fact that the THC, the psychoactive substance that is part of the, quote, medical marijuana, actually can produce seizures, and we know that marijuana itself can decrease IQs, particularly when the substance is used starting in adolescence. So it's really a very much concern that while there may be some medicinal properties from parts of marijuana, marijuana itself is not a medication. Marijuana itself can create high anxiety, increase seizure rate, cause problems with anxiety, and that the products, even those such as the Stanley Brothers that are trying to selectively breed down the amount of THC, that first of all, people using, quote, medical marijuana don't want the products that are lower in THC. They want the higher ones, which is, of course, another a topic for discussion. But even when they try and breed these down, even when they go through their extraction process, they're not able to eliminate the THC. So we still have young, fragile brains that already have difficulties because of their seizure disorders and other metabolic problems that we're now exposing them to THC. So what's the option? Because obviously children like Charlotte and some of the young people that we heard about at the Capitol yesterday, they do have problems, and they're not responding to traditional anti-seizure medications, and they are struggling. Their families are struggling. What can be done? There is a company in the United Kingdom called GW Pharmaceuticals. This particular company has created a process that they have the availability to produce and manufacture a pure CBD compound as a pharmaceutical, that they know the milligrams, they know the dose strength, they have studied this in animals as well as humans, and are very much interested in working with the FDA and academic research centers around the United States in getting the clinical trials done and the research and validation done to prove, first of all, that it's effective, secondly, that it's safe, thirdly, what are the side effects, what are the contraindications, who should absolutely not take this, what types of disorders would most benefit from using this substance, and what are the things that doctors and healthcare providers need to be aware of and watch for in terms of helping the child to be most effective in have the most efficacy in taking this substance. This particular substance has now been given what we call orphan status here in the United States, and it is available through a process with the FDA and with some oversight from the DEA that doctors and academic research centers are able to apply for an investigational new drug status and to set up a program within their practice, within their hospital, or within their research center to enroll patients and follow a protocol, which would include a number of studies, both looking at how well the person is responding, what kinds of problems they're having, and at what doses are they most effective. This data will be gathered and will be part of the application for allowing GW Pharmaceuticals and their drug Epidiolex to be able to be used freely by any physician in the United States. So right now there are at least five academic centers, including one in New York City and one in San Francisco, that have been given the go-ahead to start providing this medication. And I call this a medication because it is a pharmaceutical. It is a pure compound. It is has undergone testing and research in the United Kingdom. It's now used in 23 other countries, and there is some valid research on its efficacy and safety. So this medication is now available at these five centers. There are a number of additional centers that are applying. There's one doctor here in Atlanta who has just been given the initial preliminary approval to provide this medication to his patients. And so it is very exciting that we're looking at the opportunity to have this pure pharmaceutical medication available to children. And that not only is that exciting, the important thing, I think, for all of us is that these doctors will now be able to obtain the research and get the information and make it then hopefully very readily available, like any other medication that the FDA has approved, for any doctor to provide for their patient if the doctor feels that it would be helpful and that the risk-benefit ratio is appropriate. It's very exciting, and I think that we're all very hopeful that indeed this will prove to be helpful generally, as it seems to be in the cases of these children that are currently being treated in Colorado. So it's exciting, and it's something that we're very much hopeful for, and we are really supportive of the state of Georgia and other states using the IND or the Investigational New Drug Protocol and looking at providing this through physicians and through academic universities to be able to really help bring some relief to these kids. We made four points yesterday, and I'd like to talk about what some of those are, because I think it's really important. The American Society of Addiction Medicine, the Georgia Society of Addiction Medicine, a number of medical societies are, on a national and local level, are supportive of the idea that we need to do research and we need to see if this is helpful. We're not saying no. We're not saying we're not interested, that we're closed-minded. Absolutely not. But we are first scientists, and we do rely on scientific proof and the methods that we have already in place for allowing drugs to be safely brought to market and safely brought to patients. Dr. Gaskin yesterday made a real important observation, and he talked about the swine flu vaccination. A number of years ago, there was very high concern about what would happen if there was a swine flu epidemic here in the United States. A vaccine was prepared, and there was a lot of pressure on the FDA and other government agencies to make this vaccine available, readily available, and quickly available without going through all of the normal testing for safety and so forth. This was rushed to market because of the concern of how bad the flu might be, and subsequently we found a number, many, many patients who took this vaccine and then developed serious neurological problems, Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis, and other difficulties because this medication was rushed through the process. Steps were skipped, and many people suffered. There was a lot of outrage and anger that this vaccine was approved, and then people were encouraged to take it. So we have to remember there's a reason that we have the process, and there's a reason that we need to be careful, and that is for the good of the population, for the good of everyone. We need to make sure that things are safe and monitored. We also need to make sure that if a doctor or a patient is considering a medication, that they understand the risks, that they know these are the side effects, these are the potential bad things. How often do the really bad things happen? And is that benefit of the medication going to be worth what the potential concern and cost could be because of side effects and problems related to the substance? So it's an important process. I understand the frustration, but with this IND and orphan drug status that the Food and Drug Administration has allowed, we are going to be able to provide the pure form of this pharmaceutical free of charge to patients enrolling in these studies, and therefore it's I think it's a very positive thing, and we need to be careful about rushing to judgment in any way. It's interesting to note that we have had a quote medical marijuana in the United States. We've actually got two of them since the early 80s. 1985, Marinol, Droabinol, as its trade as its generic name, is available for treating nausea related to chemotherapy, for appetite stimulation associated with wasting and so forth, wasting associated with HIV, AIDS, with cancer, and other problems. This is active THC. This is the psychoactive drug. This is not the inactive CBD. This is actually active marijuana. Another drug, Sesamet, is also available and has the same chemical structures that occur naturally in the plant. Both of these medications are readily available to doctors right now to prescribe for patients. Guess what? Patients don't want them. Patients want to smoke the marijuana. They want the delivery system that gets the high very quickly. They don't want to take the substance in a pill that is time-released, that can help them with their medical problems. They want to get high. Both of these medications carry warnings for patients that if they have history of seizures, they should not take this medication. If they have a history themselves or a family history of addiction, they should not take these medications. Medications, medical marijuana, if you will, available since 1985, very few people want it. an interesting dilemma. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the concerns expressed before the legislature yesterday. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This is David Donaldson with the Atlanta Healing Center, conveniently located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. At AHC, your success is our goal. Addiction recovery is about more than just not using. It's about becoming a whole person and addressing all aspects of your physical, psychological, and social needs. Please call us at 770-696-9862, or you can reach us on the web at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Healthcare Consumerism Radio. Learn, connect, share. Join us every Friday at 11 o'clock. To learn all those confusing issues around healthcare, Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, we'll help you find the answers, help you stay in compliance. Join us Friday at 11 o'clock.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. We're talking about medical marijuana, the pros, the cons, and the difficulties that we're going to have in terms of providing medications for patients that might be helpful. So first of all, our concern is that we don't want to do any harm. As doctors, we take a Hippocratic oath that says, first, do no harm. We don't want to provide patients with medications that aren't safe, that aren't studied, that we don't know what's going to happen when the patient takes it, what kinds of side effects to look for, what kinds of problems to anticipate. In the country, we have already a system designed for evaluating safety, effectiveness, and indications for medications. The FDA is, its job is to evaluate medications and to make sure that when they are available, that we know as much as we can. The FDA also continues to do studies and to take reports from patients, from doctors and hospitals when side effects or problems are found to be related. Certainly, they can't test hundreds of thousands of patients, and so the post-marketing reports are very, very important. On almost a daily basis, I get updates from the FDA about side effects, problems, drug recalls that have been found about medications around the country. It is a very important service. They continue to monitor and they continue to warn, and sometimes they take drugs off the market. They will pull a drug if there is significant safety concerns. So they have an ongoing job, not just to approve medications for use, but also monitoring and reporting to medical professionals what problems have now been creeping up after the initial research. We also have a system in our country for proper dispensing and managing patients' access to medications. We have trained, licensed pharmacists and licensed and regulated pharmacies that have both state and federal oversight. They are not folks sitting in a store handing out stuff, telling people to go home and keep taking it until they get the response. We have the pharmacists who are well aware of what patients are taking and can warn patients and their doctors about potential drug-drug interactions. Pharmacists help educate patients and patients' families about what are the problems that they should look out for. the state and federal government make sure that medications are being stored properly and dispensed according to regulations. So this system is in place. We don't need to be developing an alternative system. We have a good system with knowledgeable and qualified people. We already know that there are current NIH clinical studies designed to evaluate, monitor, and treat patients, especially children suffering from serious intractable seizures. When you have a child, it's very there are so many more things you need to take into consideration when you're providing medication for them. That's why we have pediatricians. Adult doctors are not trained in, all the doctors were adults, but doctors who work in internal medicine or cardiology are not trained in pediatrics. That's why we have pediatric cardiologists and pediatric neurologists who have done additional training in the special needs and complications of treating children. Many adult medicines have not been studied in children, and part of the reason is it's too dangerous to do so. So when you're dealing with children, and when you're dealing with children who already have fragile brains, it's really critical that we make sure that they are being cared for in the absolute safest manner possible. And with these new trials of the medication from London, we're very hopeful that we'll get some good information. We really need to be aware that that there is no major medical association, medical group, including the American Society of Addiction Medicine, the American Cancer Society, the American Glaucoma Foundation, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and the American Psychiatric Association have all come out and strongly said medications are never to be smoked. That is not a reliable or medically approved dispensing system, and it is not a way that will be appropriate for anybody to take a medication. So any medical marijuana that is smoked is not felt to be safe, reliable, or approved, and these societies would never approve a cannabis-based delivery system that includes smoking. We reject, as physicians, the idea that states and local ballots can override scientific and medical decisions. We have a system of licensing, training and licensing physicians and nurses and pharmacists, dentists. All number of people have to take significant amount of coursework, practical studies, and qualifying tests to be allowed to diagnose and treat. We are not comfortable with the idea that state and local legislators can make a decision to override the medical system here in the United States. It is tried and true. It has been something that has stood the test of time, and for local ballot initiatives to approve medications is not an appropriate way to manage this. We need to be open-minded and alert to the possibility that there are chemicals within marijuana that might be helpful, that there are also substances with marijuana that are known to be harmful, that smoking is not a safe delivery system, and that the disease of addiction is alive and well. Some very interesting studies have shown that when we look at what's happened in the states that have approved marijuana for medical use, we're finding an increased use of substances by young people under the age of 17. In fact, in September 2011, the Annals of Epidemiology found that among children ages 12 to 17, marijuana usage was higher in states with medical marijuana laws. That's 8.5% versus 6%. We also know that most people in Colorado, California, and Oregon, their reasons for taking medical marijuana do not include, for the most part, cancer, HIV, glaucoma, or multiple sclerosis. In fact, 94% are taking that medication or that substance, I'm not going to call it a medication, in Colorado for pain. It's very clear that we need to be extremely cautious because there are vulnerable people within our states and cities that need help and support with the disease of addiction, and we've done a very poor job of keeping our young people from nicotine, alcohol, and marijuana. Having it legalized, I think, creates a whole nother level of problems for children who don't have the cognitive capacity to understand what kinds of problems they're getting themselves into. So it was an interesting day at the Capitol. Certainly I learned a lot, and I'm very happy to hear that we have an alternative to help these young people and their families who have serious intractable seizures, that we have a way for doctors and hospitals and universities to be able to be a part of the process to study CBD and to help determine its effectiveness and its safety. And there's really no reason that we would need to add medical marijuana as a possibility on a state or a national basis. We have medical marijuana, THC, the active ingredient, in the form of Marinol and Sesamet, and now we will have access at least to the medication from GW Pharmaceuticals. So I think there is a lot to be learned, and there's a lot of hope. I'm hoping that our legislatures and others will make the right decision in terms of keeping our citizens safe and also providing them with an opportunity for good health care. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. I appreciate your listening, and we'll see you next week on Detailing Addiction.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.